Good morning, and welcome to Unity Church on this beautiful fall morning as we celebrate our partnership with our dear friends in Homerod St. Peter in Transylvania, and we celebrate Thanksgiving yet to come. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to live a loving life of integrity and service and joy. I'd like to call your attention to this week at Unity, which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of the congregation. Wellspring Wednesday will not convene this week in deference to it being the eve of the Thanksgiving feast. We hope to see you the following Wednesday on the 29th when Wellspring Wednesday starts again. Program details will be printed in This Week at Unity, and you can sign up either this morning or next Sunday for Wellspring Wednesday on the 29th. Dinner will be at 6 o'clock, and dinner does require reservations. A little pledge update. We're trying to complete our canvas for the operating funds for the 2007 year. As of today, we have 550 operating pledges in, amounting to $830,651, which is 84% of the goal, which is great, except let's get this over with. Of the 550 pledges which are in, 46 are new and 504 are returning pledgers. There are 230 households pledging $167,000 that we are waiting to hear from. If you represent one of those households, please go to the pledge table in the parish hall and make your pledge this morning. If you'd like to make a pledge but have never done so before, there are people at the table who can help you think about what is appropriate for you and help you to make your pledge. We've received $26,250 in Unitarian Universalist Association Prairie Star District pledges on the pledge cards. This will allow Unity Church to pay 66% of our fair share rather than the 25% that we are currently paying. If you've not yet made your pledge for 2007, please do stop by the table. I want to introduce two very special guests who are here with us this morning. Dear friends of Gary de Kramer's, Richard Chalapaugh, the headsman of the Native American Church of the Oklahoma Apaches, and his nephew Lee are here with us to worship today. Would you please stand so we can welcome you? Thank you so much for being here with us. Following the service, we hope you'll join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There is also a very special reception planned for our gifts, for our guests from Homerod St. Peter, and that reception will be in the center room following the service. We hope you'll be there. In the parish hall or at the reception, you can see new friends and old. In the parish hall, you can visit our excellent bookstall and stop by the information tables. Our children's and adult libraries are also open after every service and available to you. The libraries are located on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. If you're interested in becoming a member of Unity Church, please visit the welcome table, which is also in the parish hall. Those of you who were here last week will know that we are dealing openly and we trust in a forthright manner with some history that the church needs to cope with concerning the end of our previous minister's tenure here. The board wants you to know that they are working closely with the executive team. You'll be receiving a letter from the chair of the board in the next couple of weeks, and they just really wanted to assure you that the executive team and the trustees are working closely in your best interest to resolve these matters as soon as possible. Next week, Hallman intern Teresa Schwartz and Worship Associate Don Brunquill will offer a service entitled Hand in Hand. Services will be held at our regular hours, 9, 11, and 4:30. We would like to greet you following the service at the Portland Avenue doors, and once again, welcome to Unity Church.
Love should grow like a wild iris, but doesn't. It comes from the midst of everything else. Sees like the iris of an eye when the light is right. Feels in blindness and where there is nothing else. Is tender, blinks and opens face up to the sky. Come, let us worship together.
Will you join me now in reading in unison this Thanksgiving grace that we commend to you for your feast table? Source of life, you have entrusted us with the whole of creation. May we be wise guardians of this holy place, the earth our home. May we, by word and deed, make real your thirst for justice and your infinite compassion. Blessed be the wonders and the beauties of this world, and blessed be our struggle and our longing love to live our lives in peace. Please be seated.
Every Sunday when we gather for worship, we pause for a few moments to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness which permeates this sacred place. One of the ways we do this is by lifting up the names of people who we would like to bring into the sacred embrace of this gathered community. We hold in our prayers all those who live with grief over the loss of a loved one. We especially hold Pat Argyros in our prayers today. Pat's sister Joan Dorsey died yesterday after suffering a massive stroke earlier in the week. We hold in our thoughts those people facing their death with courage and dignity. We hold in our prayers those people recovering from recent illnesses, injuries, surgeries, and health problems. We especially hold Shelley Wright, who is at home recovering from recent surgery. We hold in our prayers all those people struggling with addictions, depression, and other ailments of the heart and soul. We celebrate with Bridget and Jamie Burrell over the recent birth of one more Redeemer. Sean Ryan Burrell was born a week ago yesterday. His siblings can't wait for him to be up and running around with them. And lastly, we hold in our prayers all those around the globe suffering from poverty of spirit, of possibility, those whose lives are filled with uncertainty due to violence, hardship, and war. May we live to see a day when all our lives are filled with peace and the promise of abiding freedom. I now invite you to share the names of those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or bring into the embrace of this caring community. For the names which have been spoken and the names which remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for this tapestry we weave together. And now will you join with me in a moment of prayer? O Eternal Spirit, you who we call by many different names and approach by very different paths, we all seek, knowing we seek to know the holy in the ordinary moments of our lives, in the extraordinary moments of transforming grace and glory. O luminous light, O radiant darkness, we pause to celebrate the unfolding story of partnership. May this story find each one of us, and as we are touched by a line, a footnote, a chapter, may we find our part of this story. And in finding ourselves, may we see the rich story that is, full of despair and hopelessness, full of promise and possibility, full of generosity and generativity, full of grace, full of tender mercies. May we feel strengthened by the power of this gathered community and together recognize those times when we harmed instead of healed, turned away from healing when it was offered. May we gather at tables of welcome, of tables of love and bounty, and may we be fed each days of our life by the power invisible which nourishes most deeply and most abundantly. May it be so, and amen.
I'd like to invite the children of the congregation to come forward and share some special Thanksgiving reflections with me. Come on up and have a seat somewhere on the carpet here. And parents, if you have a child who's feeling a little bit nervous about coming up or maybe a little wiggly, feel free to come up with us. Come on up and let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving and about this stuff that I have up here on the table. You'll notice that there's a funny-shaped basket filled with all sorts of beautiful fruits and vegetables from the earth. Come on up. See this basket here? This one? It has a special name. I wonder if anybody knows the name of this special basket that we see all the time at Thanksgiving. Do you know? Yeah, sometimes this is an easy word to forget sometimes. Do you know? It's called a horn of plenty, exactly. There's another word for it, too. It's called a cornucopia. That's just a fancy word for a horn of plenty. This basket here, we see it a lot at Thanksgiving. It's shaped like a horn, and isn't it full of plenty of beautiful vegetables and fruits? And it's such a good thing to think about this time of year, how in our lives we have so much to be thankful for. How many of you feel like in your lives you have plenty of food? How many of you feel that way? Yeah, me too. I feel like I have plenty of food. And even better than plenty of food, plenty of pancakes, exactly. Even better than plenty of food is having plenty of friends to share it with. How many of you feel like you have plenty of friends? Me too. I have so many friends to be thankful for. And you know, when I look at this beautiful basket of plenty of foods from the earth, they're all so beautiful and so different, they actually kind of help me to think of the friends that I'm thankful for too. Like, for example, what are some of the things up here that you recognize? Just holler them out. What do you see up here that you know? You see a pumpkin and an orange, squash and eggplant, onions, and an apple. If there is a zucchini too. This apple, sometimes when I think of apples, especially when I see them with such plenty, I think, wow, apples are just one of the sweetest treats I can think of. They're so sweet. They make me so happy to have them. And it makes me think of the sweet friends that I have in my life. I have some really sweet friends. And when I'm feeling down, they always have kind things to say. Sometimes they do really nice things for me. Do you have sweet friends too? Yeah. And you know what? At this time of Thanksgiving, I think this is a perfect moment for us to thank our friends. I think we should do it out loud, even if the friends aren't here with us. Let's do this. I want you guys to do something with me. And actually, you guys out there, grown-ups, you can do this with us too. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think of all your friends and then try to think of the one who right now is just the sweetest to you. Can you think of the sweetest friend you have? The person who's always doing kind things? The person who always holds your hand? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everybody to speak out loud the names of that sweet friend. It's okay if it's two. So, are you ready? You can say thank you and then say your friend's name. Sweet friends, we give you thanks. Oh, I heard so many names. I said the name of my friend Heidi, who is so sweet. She's always sending me notes. And when I see her, she gives me a big warm hug. I hope that you had a sweet friend that you thought of too. Let's see. Oh, here we go. How about this? Oh, here's a vegetable that makes me think of a friend. It looks like a turnip. Does anybody know what this is? This is probably your favorite vegetable in the whole universe. If it isn't now, it will be. Do you know? Oh, close. It's a rutabaga. Rutabaga. You know, and actually, rutabagas make me think of my friends, too. I think of my rutabaga friends. Because rutabagas, these things are amazing. They will last, I swear, forever. They're usually coated with a little bit of wax. Maybe they last forever because nobody ever wants to eat them. But they last forever. These are really amazing root vegetables. If you can put them in a root cellar, yeah, they're kind of. Sometimes people cook them with squash. This would be good if we ate it. But you know what? This thing could last forever. I bet if you had a nice root cellar to put it in, it could last for almost 2 years like this because it's a really long-lasting vegetable. And it makes me think about the friends that I've had the longest, the people who have been around for years, the people who have known me for the longest time and who know me best. Have you had friends that you've had for a long time? I bet you have. You may have had friends for years. Let's do this. Close your eyes. Think of all your friends, but then think of the friend that you've had for the longest. Think of the friend that you've had for many years who's been with you. Are you ready to say thank you to that friend? Whether they're here or not? So, long-lasting rutabaga friends, we thank you. Doesn't it feel so good to have so many friends to be thankful for? I had a long-lasting friend, too. I said the name of my friend Wendy, who's known me for about 18 years now. That's a long time. I hope you have long-lasting friends, too. Who else do I think of when I look here? Oh, this one. I don't even know what kind of squash this is. It's shaped like an acorn squash, but this is no acorn squash. It's so fancy. It's so weird. It decided to do its own thing. Yeah, I have one of these at my house. All I know about this squash is that it decided not to be a plain old squash. It decided to be all sorts of different colors. It's green and orange and yellow and speckled, and it's kind of wild and crazy and fun, isn't it? It makes me think of my friends who refuse to just be plain old squashes. Oh, no, they're special squashes. It makes me think of my friends who are kind of wild and crazy. Do you have some friends who are unique? Who are special? Let's thank them. First, give yourself a second to think. Close your eyes. Think of all your friends. Who's the wildest and the most special and the most unique? Are you ready to thank them? Crazy squash friends, we thank you out loud. Did you name somebody? I named two friends. And it's, you know, sometimes it's okay if you name a friend who's still alive, and maybe you might name a friend who's not still alive. I thought of my friends, Fred and Dana. And some of you might remember from chapel this time last year that Fred, my friend, is alive, but his wife, Dana, died. But I still hold her in my heart. She's still my friend, and I still think of her as just a wild and crazy kind of squash girl. Let's see. Okay, how about this? One more vegetable. This one's easy. What's this?
Potato.
Potato. Now, if you told one of your friends that they were your potato friend, they might not be very impressed. They might say, "Why did I get to be your potato friend?" And I'll tell you what. Potatoes, they're not super exciting. They're not gorgeous to look at. But you know what? Potatoes are so good for you. They are so good for you. And I tell you what, in some places in the world, when there have been times when just about nothing else would grow, for whole nations of people, potatoes have been there. They've been there through hard times, and they've taken good care of people. Do you have a friend who's there for you even in hard times? Who nourishes you even when the going gets tough? Oh, I heard somebody say their mommy. Okay, take one last time. This is the last thank you. Think of your potato friend. Who's the friend who is there for you even in the hard times? Who's good for you? Do you have a name? Okay, let's thank them out loud. Do you have your names? Ready? Potato friends. We thank you. Some people had a lot of friends to name for their potato friends. And you know what else? This is the last thing that I thought of when I looked at this cornucopia. There is something that's inside every one of these things up here. If I cut open this eggplant, or if I cut open this apple, or if I cut open it, what's inside it? Seeds. And you know what seeds make me think of and be really, really thankful for? Children. Nicely done. Seeds. Seeds make me oh so grateful for children. You guys are just like seeds in that you are going to grow into something beautiful that is going to nourish us for the rest of our lives. So grown-ups, I invite you to say thank you to our seed friends, the kids. Now I'd like you to go back with your families, open up your orders of service, because we have a reading to do that will talk about more vegetables and more friends. Thank you for listening. Find your families.
Join us in our responsive reading. Let us give thanks for a bounty of people.
For children who are our second planting, and though they grow like weeds, and the wind too soon blows them away, may they forgive us our cultivation and fondly remember where their roots are.
Let us give thanks for generous friends, with hearts as big as Hubbard's and smiles as bright as their blossoms.
For feisty friends as tart as apples.
For continuous friends who, like scallions and cucumbers, keep reminding us that we've had them.
For friends as sour as rhubarb and as indestructible.
For handsome friends who are as gorgeous as eggplants and as elegant as a row of corn, and the others as plain as potatoes and as good for you.
For funny friends
who are as silly as Brussels sprouts and as amusing as Jerusalem artichokes.
And serious friends as complex as cauliflowers and as intricate as onions.
For old friends, nodding like sunflowers in the evening time, and young friends coming on as fast as radishes.
And finally, for those friends now gone, like gardens past that have been harvested, and who fed us in their times, that we might have life thereafter. For all these, we give thanks.
Thank you. This past week, we had the great privilege of having two of our friends from Home Road St. Peter arrive. We are delighted that they are here and spending Thanksgiving with us, and I would like to introduce both of them to you. Ildiko and Alanka Mate, will you come up and meet the congregation? Ildiko and Alanka arrived on Tuesday flying from Romania, and it was the first time either of them had ever flown on an airplane, and we are thrilled that they are here.
Dear Partner Church Congregation, I'm Ildiko Mate from Home Road St. Peter, and I'm here together with Ilonka, also from Home Road St. Peter. We greet you on behalf of our congregation. Those of you who have already been visiting Transylvanian Partner Church have met us. Many of you became part of our families. It is a deep and nurturing feeling that we belong together. In spite of many differences, we share a common religious belief. We believe in the God-given right of every human being to be free and to have a dignified human life. Back home in Transylvania, these days, we face many challenges because in this coming January, our country will join the European Union. After the dark years of communism, we will be a great relief to belong to a community which shares some of the values we stand for. However, there will come hard times as well, because there isn't much place for rural life in the EU. We, the people from this village, don't want to leave our homes, our lands, our woods, our crops, our way of life. But we would like to have good education for our children. We would like to keep our traditions, but also we would like to be in touch with the real 21st century life. You people from Unity Church have been walking with us along the path in the last years. You held our hands, you supported our church, our students, our children, our farmers. You gave us hope to stand for our rights, for our lives. You were there with us, and you have to know that how much that means to us. Please receive the love and the gratitude we brought to you from our village. Since Rob told us the story of the stone soup, we know that even the smallest commitment to the community is valuable. You made us feel valuable. May the trust each other, respect and love each other. May we live by our common values. It is an intimate and spiritual moment when we are eat together. Eating together is a holy moment. That is one of the reasons why we have communion in our traditions. To remember the precious hours when we talk to each other, when we share the food together. We brought a tablecloth to be used on Wellsprings Wednesday to remember us. A gift from our congregation to your congregation. God bless you all. And please feel yourself welcome anytime in your partner church.
Those of you who worship regularly with us know by now that the money that's put in the baskets on Sunday mornings goes right out the door to support efforts all around the world and here at home to better people's lives, to stand in partnership with neighbors we have yet to come to know. This morning's offering will go to support the good work of the partnership between Unity Church in St. Paul and the village of Homerode St. Peter. The funds are used to support scholarships for children who have to leave the village in order to pursue secondary education, and for a variety of other good works, all of which are determined by the villagers themselves. We have always striven to harness our capacity to their dreams. Those dreams are beginning to come true now through your largesse and because of the rich continuing partnership we've forged. Will the ushers please come forward, and will you give as generously as you can this morning?
This morning, we share the collective wisdom of gratitude from some of the elders of our church who participated in gratitude reflections this last Thursday.
As people spoke of their gratitude, their voices often choked with love, tenderness, and deep feeling.
We hope you feel blessed by these voices of gratitude.
I'm grateful that I'm still here.
I'm grateful for the compassionate, caring people I find at Unity Church.
I'm grateful for my wife, who helped me learn to love.
I'm grateful for my husband of 30 years.
I'm grateful for my parents.
I'm grateful for my older brother, who paid for my piano lessons.
I'm grateful for my children.
And my grandchildren.
I'm grateful for my stubbornness.
And my curiosity.
I'm grateful for this church, which nourishes my spirit.
I'm grateful that I can still drive and that I can play Scrabble over the computer with my daughter.
I'm thankful for good friends.
I'm grateful for my 12-step group, which saved my life.
I'm grateful that I now love myself and can even laugh at myself.
I'm grateful for place. I was born on a farm.
I'm grateful I was born in New York City.
I'm grateful for my tough Yankee forebears.
This church is an anchor in my life.
I'm grateful I never experienced war firsthand.
I'm grateful to my wife, who waited to marry me until after World War II. And I'm grateful for my dog.
And cats. I'm grateful to do work that is meaningful.
I'm grateful I don't have to prove myself anymore.
I'm grateful that I can go to sleep every night thinking of at least one thing for which I'm grateful.
Thank you.
I set before you life and death, blessings or curse. Choose life, that you and your descendants might live. These words from the 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy have served as text for many a sermon. I used them myself when I preached last June in that little blue jewel of a church built in the 15th century where our friends from Transylvania worship every Sunday. There in the Unitarian homelands, there in what's known as the Seke Fold, the land of the Seke, these words take on special meaning. It has been only 17 years since our brothers and sisters far across the sea emerged from 60 years of cruelty, 60 years beneath the yoke of communist dictatorship, culminating in the horrors of the dictator Ceausescu. That long, hard winter bred hopelessness, suspicion, and despair among the people. In 1989, when Ceausescu finally fell and the borders opened up, our friends were in deep need. They needed help of many kinds, but most of all, they needed to know there were people who cared, people who saw them, people who were willing to help to protect them. They needed desperately to know they were no longer alone. American Unitarian Universalists, including a few pioneering members of this congregation, came forward to say, yes, we see you. You are no longer isolated. You are no longer alone. Welcome back. It said that any prayer can be reduced to please and thank you. In the early days of our relationship, before we came to know each other well, we would ask, in typical American manner, how can we help? What do you need? And our friends would say, please, we need a tractor. And the money would be raised and wired over. And our friends would say, thank you for the tractor. They were the ones doing most of the praying back then. Please and thank you, the elemental words of prayer. This coming week, we will gather around the table to celebrate Thanksgiving. Though days for Thanksgiving were proclaimed now and again in the early days of colonial America, Thanksgiving became a national holiday in 1863, when Abraham Lincoln, in the midst of the darkest days of the Civil War, decreed that the last Thursday in November would henceforth be Thanksgiving Day. Then, in 1939, concerned about maintaining the recovery of the economy, President Franklin Roosevelt, of sainted memory, moved it back to the third Thursday in order to provide 7 additional shopping days before Christmas. This is true. I've always loved Thanksgiving. I have. It's my favorite holiday. Though the old story of the first Thanksgiving has been overshadowed by the trail of tears which leads back to the Mayflower, we nonetheless still celebrate how blessed we are to be Americans. At best, Thanksgiving is a time not just for the immediate family to gather, but for broadening our understanding of what family can actually be. Though America has yet to fully realize its promise, people all around the world still look to us to live up to our claims. My prayer for this and every Thanksgiving is simply this: dear God, help me to love my neighbors, even and especially the ones that I don't like. And thank you, God, for always bringing new neighbors into my life, new opportunities for love. Our early work in Transylvania was more about beneficence than it was about true partnership. That is not a criticism, for charity does begin at home. But as we came to know and to respect each other, beneficence was no longer enough. And we began to long to be of use and to be in relationship in ways that money simply couldn't buy. And so, without setting generosity aside, we took the time to become pilgrims. We summoned a particular quality of attention, a way of being together, a kind of openness, some call the pilgrim way. Year after year, we've returned to the village, and over that time, we've come to realize we have at least as much to gain as we have to give in this relationship. Our friends had survived deprivation far greater than most of us have ever had to know. In the beginning, what they needed most was hope. This great poem from John Ciardi points to what we're learning lately from our Transylvanian friends. In 1945, when the keepers cried kaput, Josef Stein, poet, came out of Dachau like half a resurrection, his other 80 pounds still in their invisible grave. Slowly then the mouth opened, and first a broth, and then a medication, and then a diet, and all in time, and the knitting mercies, the showing bones were buried back in flesh. And the miracle was finished. Josef Stein, man and poet, rose, walked, and could even beget, and did, and died later of other causes only partly traceable to his first death. He noted with some surprise at first that strangers could not tell he had died once. He returned to his post at the library, drank his beer, published 3 poems in a French magazine, and was very kind to the son who was at last his. In the span of one night, he wrote 3 propositions: that hell is the denial of the ordinary, that nothing lasts, and that clean white paper waiting under a pen is the gift beyond history and hurt and heaven. Ildagó Máté, who spoke so beautifully to us just a few moments ago, works as the local development agent in Home Road, St. Peter. As LDA, she has been trained and is supported by an organization called Civitas, which works on developing civil society, developing the skills of citizenship, and which, in partnership with Project Harvest Hope, fosters basic community organizing in the villages of Transylvania. This is a place which has never really known the benefits associations for social betterment can bring. The other day I asked Ildikó what we could do to help. I'm an American through and through. What can we do to help you? She smiled and she said, I don't know. Please let us do our own work now. We're building a house up from the ground, and you are already sitting on the roof. Please let us do our own work now. It was one of the sweetest prayers I've ever heard. Do you understand what I'm saying, friends? For those who've never known true freedom, the promise that they can dream, the promise that they can do their own work now, is the gift beyond history and hurt and heaven. So I give thanks for clean white paper waiting under a pen, for the possibility to plan and make those dreams real, for the creative impulse which drives us forward into a future far more loving and far more just than we have today. And I give thanks for neighbors far and near who hear the call of freedom and move as one in saying yes, in choosing life. May it be so. And amen. There is a turn in things that makes the heart catch. We turn now with the turning of the year. This week we gather at the tables in 1,000,000 homes and turn toward one another and renew again the ancient prayer. Please. Please join in partnership with all creation. And thank you for the neighbors we have yet to know.